Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Rewind, part number 54, we chat about one of the most famous backfields in college football history, the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame, and how they got their name. This story and more is coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we look back in that portal today, we're going into Football History Rewind part number 54, and we're going to look at an introductory to a legendary quartet of backfield mates from the 1924 season. That's right, the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame. While Red Grange was scoring all those touchdowns in Illinois, another group not far away in Indiana was being introduced to the American public. The group was dubbed as a legendary nickname by Notre Dame publicist George Strickler after their performance reminded him of a Rudolph Valentino film, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Notre Dame's legendary Four Horsemen were not pestilence, famine, destruction, and death, as in the film, but were wreaking havoc on the gridiron under the persons of Strudreyer, Miller, Crowley, and Layden. The group became the most famous backfield probably in history, even to this day. Quarterback Harry Stoldreyer, left halfback Jim Crowley, right halfback Don Miller, and fullback Elmer Layden became even more famous when popular newspaper journalist Grantland Rice took Strickler's idea of backs being compared with the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Notre Dame's 13-7 upset victory over a strong Army team on October 18, 1924 was the time to use the term. Rice penned the most famous football lead of all time as he started his sports article in a variant gallant ballad-like prose that people just loved. It still sounds pretty good. In the immortal words of Mr. Grantland Rice, it went something like this. He said, quote, "Outlined against the blue-gray October sky, the Four Horsemen rode again. In dramatic lore, their names are famine, pestilence, destruction, and death. These are only aliases. Their real names are Stoldreyer, Miller, Crowley, and Layden. They formed the crest of the South Bend Cyclone, before which another fighting army team was swept over the precipice at the Polo Grounds this afternoon, as 55,000 spectators peered down upon the bewildering panorama spread out upon the green plain below." Unquote. That's not some fantastic introduction to a sports article. I don't know what is. People just don't write like that anymore. Grantland Rice was truly a master and a wordsmith, and really caught people's attention, because that is true poetry in motion right there. And it's a newspaper article on sports. Unbelievable. Now, Strickler then took that horseman thing that Grantland Rice really made popular, and he pushed it to new levels when he got the players to pose on horseback and encouraged writers around the country to reference the fellas with the new moniker of the Four Horsemen. Now, Irish coach Newt Rockne used his talented fearsome foursome normally in this way. They would sit the bench at the beginning of the first and third quarters while bigger, heavier backs would pound the defensive line for a bit of the opposition in order to soften and subdue the opposing interference. After bludgeoning of the thundering Irish thumpers, lightning would strike as fleet-footed smaller Four Horsemen backs would shred the weary defense with their foot speed and skill and breakaway skills. You know, Rockne also established a strategy of having the backs hit the holes quickly, led by smaller, quicker players providing downfield blocks on a defensive secondary, a new scheme of sorts. You know, previously, the blocking was pointed by having big guys open up holes at the line of scrimmage to get a back through, and it was up to the back by himself to get past the downfield defenders. Another important factor of success for the Notre Dame rushing attack was the famous Notre Dame shift, where the backs went from a T formation, which was pretty standard that day, to a box formation prior to the snap. The box formation of the Irish made the offense very similar to the single wing. This style kept defenses off balance, as they many times were unsure who was going to receive the snap from center. The four Irish backs complicated matters by handling the ball off to each other and sometimes faking the handoffs. Defenses were off balance, as by the time they reacted, the runner was past them and in the open field. And these four backs all had great skills of running the ball. Now, Newt Rockne was blessed with having the perfect talent for his offensive style of play, from the line to the backs and all the supporting players. That is why the Irish of 1924 will live on in fame and legend. In fact, the team was recognized as the consensus national champions of college football in 1924, receiving retroactive national championship honors from the Berryman QPRS system, Billings Report, Bone System, Dickinson System, College Football Research Association, Helms Athletic Foundation, Holgate System, National Championship Foundation, and Polling System, and Jeff Sagarin. Now, the 1925 Rose Bowl was Notre Dame's last bowl appearance all the way through the 1969 season. In that game, it was a battle of legendary backfields as the Four Horsemen went up against the Ernie Nevers-led sideline and backfield of Stanford. Now, the season, the Fighting Irish played their home games at Cartier Field. And this is where we must leave off in this edition, but don't fret, as there are plenty more entries coming in this series soon. Please watch for part number 55 of the Football History Rewind, coming in a day's here, only at pigskindispatch.com, where the preservation of the gridiron is retold with its historic past. And we'll talk about it year by year. We'll be talking about the pro game and maybe some changes that happened at both the college and a professional level in the rules for 1924. Hope you enjoyed this little bit of history. Hope you'll be staying tuned for more as we bring it to you almost every single day of the year. And definitely have an article or two posting on pigskindispatch.com where you can learn more about it. And we've got thousands upon thousands of great posts and podcasts that you can listen to or read. Between Pigskin Dispatch and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast. Also, find my friends over at the Sports History Network, where there are even more great podcasts on sports history, not only of the gridiron, but other sports as well. And I think you'll find something for everybody there. It's all family friendly. SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.